Welcome to another edition of the CJ McCollum Show. It is currently Tuesday, April 2nd, the day after April Fool's 2024. We're home. We're in the midst of a tough six-game homestand. Don't really want to talk about the last game, but I'm going to talk about it very briefly. Cassidy,
it was an April Fool's joke.
The first quarter was definitely a joke. 24 points from Devin Booker. We gave up 48 points. They had 9 assists, no turnovers. They had second chance points. They had offensive rebounds. They hit 8 or 9 threes, and they're not even a three-point shooting team. Not a
Don't
great
worry.
Night for us. Not a great
Don't
game
worry.
For us, but there's still games left to be played.
CJ, no one was watching. They were all watching LSU, Iowa. So no one saw Devin Booker's 52-point game. This is a glass half full. I had you guys on in the background, but the volume went to my guy, Ryan Rico.
Background.
Yeah, you guys were on the second screen.
The most unfortunate part, obviously, the standings and what transpired with Book scoring 50 for the third straight game, which is disgusting. Not only did we lose... Yeah. It counts as two losses, basically. Two in the standings, because that's head-to-head. They move up. We move essentially down the spot, get closer to being even with them in the loss column. And we missed Caitlin Clark. So it's like...
Right.
We lost.
Couldn't even
moved
see
down
it.
The standings. And we didn't
you
get
just
to see...
Wait. You glossed over that. So, look, I don't mean to put salt in the wounds, but, you know, we're here. We're talking about it. It happened last night. 52 points. Because we got to tell the viewers, because like I said, they were watching Caitlin Clark and Iowa beat LSU. The 52 points he had, as you mentioned, disgusting third straight game that he's put up at least 50 against you guys, joining Wilt Chamberlain. But when you look at the list, I mean, like, Wilt Chamberlain's stats
it's not funny.
Are not real. No, I'm not talking about Devin on you anymore. I'm talking about Wilt stats. So it's like Devin, and then I have to bring it back up. I think there's like at least 9 other circumstances that Wilt has scored at least 50 against a single opponent, 3 to 5 times. So it's like Devin like creeped in there, and then it's Wilt, 5 times, 5 times, 5 times, 5 times, 3 times, 3 times, 3 times, 3 times. Like,
good Lord.
Wilt's, yeah. His numbers
mythical legend.
Are silly. What?
He's a mythical legend. He's honestly a mythical legend who has done amazing things in this game that are unheard of. And when someone is mentioned in the same breath as them, you're like, wait, what? Because that's how good he was for so long in terms of scoring and rebounding the basketball. Like, unbelievable career Wilt Chamberlain had. And outside of that game, we have the Orlando Magic tomorrow. Those that are be listening to this podcast Wednesday, and then we have the San Antonio Spurs Friday, and then we leave to go to Phoenix. We travel the day of the actual Final Four, women's Final Four, and we play the Phoenix Suns on Sunday in a semi matinee game. I think it's like 2 or 3 o'clock or something like that, if I'm not mistaken, for revenge.
So you play the Suns again. So you're going to have another crack at Devin. I'm actually in Phoenix right now. They're taking on the Cavs, who are also, you know, dealing with their own injuries. Before we move on to the Final Four, you know, like, you guys are without a very key player in Brandon Ingram. And it was reported that, you know, he could be reevaluated soon. Optimistic that maybe he can play, you know, 3 weeks into his recovery from that left knee injury that he got on March 21st. What are you seeing and noticing about BI? Is he around the team? And you know, how much are you missing him right now?
Well, we're definitely missing him, especially in a game like last night when, you know, obviously we weren't getting stops defensively. Outside of that first quarter, we played extremely well defensively. We played pretty well offensively. I think we had 29 assists, only 9 turnovers, you know, 16-second chance points. We were getting fast break opportunities. We did what we were supposed to do outside of that first quarter. We just gave up 52 points to one guy and held them outside of that to 121 points. And, you know, outside of that 40-point quarter, we held them pretty much under 26 the rest of the game per quarter, outscoring them in the third and fourth. But wasn't enough, obviously, because we got down by so much. B.I. obviously is great offensively. He's improved defensively. He rebounds the ball. He initiates our offense. He can score, three-level score. Really good in the mid-range, which is what you need against great defensive teams. And just his presence out there makes the defense have to account for another all-star level player. So we do miss him. He's around the team every day. He's rehabbing. He's doing some of our stuff. Pre-practice, post-practice, taking part in a lot of that stuff. You could see him ramping up, you know, pull work, Ultra G, which is the anti-gravity machine where you like treadmill, but like you can kind of reduce, you know, body weight. So he's continuing to make progress in the right direction on all accounts. I don't know what Sham said something about him being evaluated later this week and the Pelicans being optimistic that he can resume playing approximately 3 weeks into his recovery. I don't know about all that stuff. I don't know his timelines. I don't know what the team is kind of discussing behind closed doors, but I know that he's progressing and very encouraged with, you know, the progress that he's making. And he seems to be in good spirits despite not being able to play and having to watch us during this crucial stretch run.
So you guys have gone 6-4 in your last 10. Obviously you're looking to snap a, we're not, you know, drop a third straight when you take on the Magic. But you know, it's so tight right now. You're on the outside of the play-in. You're, you know, a game ahead of the Suns, as you mentioned, it was like a double loss, and you're half a game back of the Dallas Mavericks. You know, with the schedule, upcoming schedule against some pretty strong teams, Magic, Spurs with Wembanyama playing the way he's playing, Suns, Blazers, Kings, Warriors, and then Lakers. And the Warriors and Lakers are going to be playing for something. You know, Warriors are going to be fighting for their playoff lives. So, you know, how much is the urgency right now among the team?
It's very high. You know, we've talked about the fact that it's very tight in terms of the teams, in terms of the schedule, in terms of what it means to everybody, what we're going to be able to accomplish, you know, with the idea of controlling our own destiny. I think that's extremely important to recognize that we have to live in this moment, understanding that tomorrow's not promised. Like, we can't control what happens next year or next week, but we got a chance to win games at home. We got a chance to win games on the road and literally not have to worry about whether or not other teams win, right? Like, that's a unique opportunity to have, especially in the Western Conference, this far into the season, to where you don't really have to worry about other teams winning or losing if you just take care of what's in front of you. And I think that's the mentality and the mindset. We had a really good practice, contact practice, where we are focusing on things and trying to tighten up the screws because, you know, with 7 games left, we got to win a good amount of those to avoid the playing game. And if we do that, then it doesn't matter what the other teams do. But if we don't take care of business, then we're putting ourselves in position to have to rely on other teams, which is not what you want to do in this league.
So I mentioned a half a game back of the Mavericks, you know, taking that fifth seed from you guys following just, you know, an absurd march. Specifically from Luka Doncic, 11-1 in their last 12 games, and the only game they lost, Luka didn't play. So since March 6th, Luka has been averaging 31 points, almost 10 rebounds, and almost 10 assists. Where do you have him in the MVP race? I got asked by Tim Bontemps, who does his straw poll. And right now, in my response to him, where he asks a bunch of voters, you know, where they're at in their MVP voting, right now I have Jokic and then Luka and then Shai. Where does Luka fall for you right now in terms of the MVP race?
I'd say he's 1B. Understanding Joker and how well he's played throughout this entire season. This is definitely a hot stretch for Luka. He's been great all year, but this has been a dominant stretch in which he's not only put up numbers, right, 30-point triple-doubles, but his team has also seen higher levels of success consistently. The duo pairing of him and Kyrie has been successful. It's been very fruitful. They seem to really learn and grow together. Their net on-court rating is like an 8.2 or 8.4, which is insane. It kind of shows you how well they are playing together on the court.
Well, I was just saying clutch time too. They're, you know, it's, we saw last year, it was like, you go, I go, you go, I go. And you can see the profound respect that they have for each other's game and understanding of each other's game. And, you know, like the whatever, however you want to describe it, like, you know, some people may have been like Batman Robin, or, you know, they're Batman and Superman, like they're figuring out how to use their superpowers together, even though Batman doesn't have superpowers, but that's a different conversation for another day. But they really are, seem to be working well together, and you agree.
No, I definitely agree. I think they've grown tremendously in willingness to sacrifice, willingness to defer. Obviously, Luka averaging 34 points per game means that he's not sacrificing that much, but in terms of making the right plays consistently, being comfortable with having a great night and not taking the last shot because it's not open, or you're not, or you're allowing other people to be the best version of themselves. And I think the teammates are buying in. They made a deadline move that I think was very fruitful for their roster, for their organization, and for their future. And I love Grant Williams, and I love what he had to offer, and I love, you know, all those guys. But I think for them and what they needed and what they wanted at that particular time, they wanted more athleticism, they wanted a lob threat, they wanted certain things. And I think they were able to get that at the deadline. And I think it's been helpful, or at least it's perceived to be helpful for their roster and for their best players, which is Luka and Kyrie.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I mean, adding Gafford has been huge for them. It just crossed, though, that Derek Lively is going to be out for 2 weeks. But, you know, just alone, his rookie performance has given them a huge boost. But, you know, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford have been great adds. They're we've had this conversation before. They're going to be a hard out for any team in the playoffs when you have, you know, both Kyrie and Luka understand what the playoff stage is all about. And, you know, so does Jason Kidd. I think Luka being now 25, you know, like, he's been in the MVP conversation for the last couple of years. This is going to be, I think, a very interesting playoff run for him to really, like, own his stardom in the NBA. I'm excited for the playoffs. I mean, we're kind of inching to get there. And I know it's tense, though. Like, even though, you know, everyone's kind of wanting the playoffs to start, like, there's the maneuvering of the standings is always kind of, it's palpable. among teams. But, you know, right now, it's almost like the women's Final Four is the one that is kind of capturing everyone's attention. So the NBA is going to have its time to be the main show. But right now, like after what we saw yesterday, being Monday, 12.3 million people, a record for a women's tournament game, for the LSU and Iowa game. Like, I know you didn't get to see it, but did you see any highlights?
I seen highlights. I seen Angel Reese sprain her ankle on a camera, man or woman. I seen her foul out on a play, and the Iowa girl yell or gesture bye bye. I see Caitlin Clark hit some big shots, and I seen a lot of maturity after the game in terms of how a lot of the LSU ladies handled the loss, in terms of saying, like, you know, they outplayed us tonight and they didn't make excuses. They talked about how they won a championship the year before and how you have to be able to win graciously and lose graciously at times. And it was Caitlin Clark's moment. It was her night. It's a shame we don't get Juju versus Caitlin, but we do get Paige. And Paige is phenomenal. She has a great story. She was injured. Mm-hmm. She's overcome a lot of adversity, a lot of doubts, and she's a force to be reckoned with. And Gino and that club, they are special, and they have a chance to do some special things, and I'm looking forward to watching.
I mean, Juju is a freshman. If she stays, you know, like I would, like
she has to
these
stay.
Days. These,
she has to break.
These,
she has to break every record.
Well, yes, and also these days, like they make so much money in college. Like, what, you know, incentive do you have to leave right now as a freshman? Like, you know, might as well just get your degree and also get paid for someone who's like Juju. But so, you know, there's time to see her kind of take over. It's going to be fun to see Paige and Caitlin Clark go at it. Cause you know, Paige having come back from injury and being such a dynamic all around player, and Caitlin being the offensive force that she is. I just can't get over, like, 12.3 million people, most viewed women's college basketball game on record for any network, and the most viewed college basketball game, men's or women, on ESPN platforms ever. So 12.3 million is like, that's a big number. That's a really big number for any game. And I just hope it continues to be the norm. Like, that was like blockbuster viewing last night. And I think the stars showed up. I mean, before Angel fouled out, I mean, she was having a monster game.
She fouled in the third quarter with 19 and 19? Something like that?
She had 20 and 20. Yeah, I'm not sure her exact stats, but she was, I mean, she showed up. It was quite a night. And all around, it just was, I mean, that was only the Elite Eight. And so we still have the Final Four to go. And then meanwhile, like, South Carolina is the best team out of all of them. And they've
no one's
them.
Talking
I mean,
about lost,
like, yeah, it's just like.
They're 36 so, and 0.
Right. Exactly. They've lost one game in the last 2 years. So, you know, that it's exciting. Caitlin Clark is definitely as advertised. I heard there's some rumblings that they you know, we talked about this at post All-Star. Would you want to see a Steph and Clay versus Caitlin and Sabrina? Do you think that's the right next step of that?
It's the right pairing. I mean, I think they're the future of basketball in terms of must-see TV. You talk about 12.3 million people. Obviously, the Bayou Barbie in LSU has a strong following. Great basketball team in their own right. Great coach. But Caitlin Clark is the one. Like, she is the one. The one that Nike is making the commercials for, the billboards. She's the next big thing. And I think the Indiana Fever have the number one pick, if I'm not mistaken.
They
and
do.
That is a basketball state.
Yes.
And not that far from Iowa. I mean, drivable. So it's going to be cool to see the impact she has on the professional game. I can't wait to take my daughter to see her play along with the other ladies in the W. And I think it's really cool that they're showing that they can not only play on the big stage, but like hold their own, if not surpass all other sports, regardless of gender. And I think that's a cool part of all of this. And I think from a rating standpoint, from a commercialization standpoint, I hope that they're taking advantage of this viewership and showing the W and really just putting on the way they should put on when they have the spotlight there for it. Mm-hmm. So that's a ESPN, do what you're supposed to do when the moment presents itself so that we can get more of a following for women's sports.
I mean, they certainly have been, like, from, you know, the amazing crew, Ryan Rucco, Rebecca Lobo, Holly Rowe, and then like the studio crew of Elle, Andrea, and Shanae. They like it's just been awesome. It's just been an awesome presentation, representation of women's basketball. So I'm excited for the Final Four.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm excited for the NBA to continue on into their postseason. I think Sixers fans are excited to see Joel Embiid. He's back in the mix as we're recording this podcast right now. You know, he's playing in his return. It was kind of not a surprise, but it was a report that came late that he was not only playing, but he was starting. And, you know, even though there was reports that he wasn't at shoot around this morning, but he is out there. He looks a little slim. Obviously the game's not over yet, so we don't have can't give a full report on, you know, how he looked, but I know the Sixers are happy to have him back. What should the Sixers expect from, you know, Joel Embiid here? You know, especially with about a couple more weeks left in the regular season.
I think it was great timing as long as he was healthy and the organization thought he was healthy to bring him back, because there's still 6 to 8 games left. He's still able to kind of reestablish a rhythm in the regular season, slowly increase his minutes as he ramps up for the playoffs, as opposed to having to return just for the playoffs where the intensity is higher, the minutes, the load, what's expected of you in terms of how to deliver in the half court is all higher. I think this was a good game plan in the event that he was healthy and ready, which he was. The Sixers are in 8th place right now, basically two in the loss column out of 7th behind Miami as well as the Indiana Pacers. So they're close. They could make a run here. They could either avoid the play-in game or well position themselves for success in that. In terms of expectations, I think they expect him to be dominant. I think they expect him to really just make the game easier for everybody else. As we're recording this podcast, he's got 14, 4, and 5 in 17 minutes on 5 of 10 and 4 of 4. So it's like he hasn't missed a beat. I imagine he probably plays 32 to 35 minutes tonight, depending on how this game goes, with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. But this is a guy that was averaging like 36 points per game. So I would expect him to score 30 a night, which is 6 less than what he was averaging, and continue to develop a rhythm and level of game conditioning before the playoffs.
I mean, when you think about it too, it's like, okay, so they're in that 8th spot. They're 2 games behind Miami, as you laid out. But they could crawl out of the play-in. with Joel back. I mean, it's not just about working him back in the mix and finding his rhythm. I mean, Tyrese Maxey held it down as well as he could hold it down for them in when you lose a reigning MVP, even with himself also missing a few games with that concussion. But I think this stretch for them is to get Joel back into rhythm and to try to get them out of themselves out of the play-in. And if they can do that, I mean, that is we could see them possibly going up against Cleveland, and they've been struggling right now. So
Cleveland rocks.
We'll see. I mean, this is like before Joel got hurt. And I know that's to say a lot because, you know, this injury was not minor. And unfortunately, that's what's plagued the 76ers every playoffs is Joel gets nicked up. But, you know, they're going to be a problem. I don't know if they can figure it all out in time, but it's still Joel Embiid, who's one of the most dominant players in the league for sure.
No, I absolutely agree. I think I was just going to add, I think that was a very important part that you mentioned. It wasn't just to establish rhythm. They don't want to be in the play-in game. They want to secure a playoff spot and not have to play a meaningless game that's meaningful, but wasting energy, wasting your legs, waste of travel if you have to go on the road to then go play in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then find themselves maybe in the eighth spot up against the Celtics, or even
which isn't great
the seventh spot against the Bucks. So, you know, they're certainly motivated in multiple ways. Let's finish off the pod kind of saying a goodbye and a cap tip to Rajon Rondo, who has officially retired from the NBA. Following a 16-season career, you know,
16 seasons.
Yeah, he confirmed it on the All the Smoke podcast. Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, of course. You know, Rondo, a champion, two times over, four-time All-Star. When you ask people around the league who is one of the smartest basketball minds among players, he's on a very short list. What were your experiences around Rajon Rondo or playing against Rajon Rondo? What do you remember about his career?
I just remember the feistiness, the competitiveness, the ability to make everyone around him better. Right away, people talked about his IQ, his leadership, how he empowered the guys around him, and how he was a selfless point guard. Love to get assists, love to see other people play better. And the way he viewed and thought of the game was light years ahead of most of his peers. And with me coming to the league in 13, he was with the Celtics still. They were still obviously very good. And then he played for the Mavericks and the Kings. And when he's with the Kings, you've seen the difference in Boogie, right? Boogie's development, Boogie's efficiency, all those things got better when Rondo was with him. And then the Pelicans. I unfortunately lost to the Pelicans when he played for them. We ended up getting swept, actually, as a higher seed. And then he won a championship with the Lakers in the bubble and kind of went on to kind of play for the Hawks, Clippers, and Cavs. But you just got to see an ability to impact the game in so many different ways. Defensively, picking up, getting over pick and rolls, getting steals, getting penetration consistently throughout a game where he's getting downhill, dropping it to the big, spraying to Ray, spraying to shooters consistently, which is something that you admired as a guard. Because this was a guy who wasn't known for outside shooting, but still figured out a way to blow by the defender who was probably two steps off of him, which is an elite skill in itself.
Yeah, I mean, Rajon, I mean, he was a big personality. You know, I think he...
It's true.
I think every team that, you know, I had conversations with about being his teammate, a lot of people just expressed how in awe they were of his IQ. But sometimes, you know, because he was so smart, it made it oftentimes difficult for him to maybe see eye to eye with some people who didn't see the game his way. But, you know, I don't think you can debate that, you know, he was one of the better point guards of his generation. And, you know, really was, you know, I know he wasn't included in the Celtics big three, but I think he was like, there was a big four. He had huge impact on that championship in Boston. You could say maybe had a big impact on the demise of that team, but that's a conversation for another day. You know, I think that he, you know, two-time champion, four-time All-Star, Rajon Rondo had a hell of a career. And do you think he'll ever get into coaching?
Go Big Blue. I think he will. I think he will. Right now he's in the phase of being with his kids. He's in the phase right now of coaching his kids, watching his kids develop and grow, nourishing them. Once his kids are older, the itch is still going to be there. And how do you scratch the itch? Player development. Maybe you advisory role, consultant. You start off just, I'm going to just show him how to do pick and roll. I'm going to just show him how to read the defense. Next thing you know, got him. He's back in. So I think there's a chance that a guy who loves the game the way he does is involved in some capacity, even if it's as a consultant, which I believe is the best way to stay involved in the game, because you pick your spots, you give your dates, and you're around the game, but it's not overly controlling
the grind.
Your life.
Yes. And I don't know him. I've just covered him, but I don't. Could he deal with? Does he have the temperament to be a head coach? Because being a head coach and dealing with
you—that's different.
Divas,
you them dealing with those divas has got to be difficult. Which is why I said player development and consulting, because you get to get in and get out, work with the players you want, and vamos.
And vamos, exactly.
Vamos,
and that's what we're about to do. Vamos, it's Tuesday night. I'm in Phoenix.
On so a Tuesday.
Sure check out Cavs Suns. Maybe the Cavs will, you know, wear Devin Booker down for you guys when you take
Cavs Suns.
Take them on.
Watch the Cavs Suns for a little bit and then check out Pelicans Orlando Magic on League Pass. And maybe this is on Fox 8. This might be on local Channel 8 for those that are in the actual Louisiana market. Mm-hmm.
Second
or Valley Sports.
Second screen again. Second screen again. That's all I'm saying.
Second screen is crazy.
I'll have you guys on too. I'll throw you on. You're the best. I'll talk to you next week and we'll see where you are in the standings. We'll see what the Pelican brief is. It's going to be, that's a big week. It's a big week.
That's three games from now, huh? One, two, three. Yeah. Wow.
Magic, Spurs, Suns. See if it's four.
Why not get all three? Let's get all three. I rebuke you in that statement.